My name is Rhianna McNamara. I am not an SRE and I'm not a SWE. I'm a senior staff technical writer at Google, and until a couple of weeks ago, I was the lead of a project called G3Doc, which is Google's internal documentation platform. So I've been working on documentation for about 11 years at Google and probably about 25 in the industry in general. We have a lot to cover in this presentation, so I am going to move pretty fast, but we are going to be expanding on this talk in the upcoming SRE book, which will be out in August. And I obviously will be taking questions afterwards. I will talk about documentation until the cows come home. So if you're interested and you want to have a conversation, please hit me up after this talk. Okay. Documentation is not toil. Documentation is core fundamental engineering work. It is critical to development velocity, code quality, and to the reliability of services in production. As Ben said in his keynote about operations, it applies to documentation as well. It is a core engineering problem. In theory, we believe that documentation is as fundamental to software engineering as testing. But in reality, we know that that is not the case. Nobody appears to be happy with documentation. We see it in surveys over and over again. And missing poor and incomplete documentation is bad for everybody. It's bad for our teams, it's bad for SRE, it hurts velocity and quality, and it is bad for our business. And this problem is particularly critical for SREs. Sometimes it does seem that documentation is everybody's problem but nobody's job, but when the pager goes off, you need that information now. Documentation is probably your number one priority. But when you're developing code, when you're doing it in out of your limited development budget, documentation is often the lowest priority. And that is sad, but it is entirely rational behavior on the part of engineers. Because if you have only a limited time in which to do your development work, documentation is something that comes out of that budget. Maybe it's 50% of your time or 70% of your time. And as long as documentation is perceived as drudge work or toil that goes largely unrewarded or unrecognized, it will continue to be the first thing to go. And the truth is that documentation does cost. It is expensive. It requires resources to create and maintain. And if you are to do docs right, it needs to come out at the time you have budgeted for development. This is a reality that needs to be faced. If we want to do documentation right, if we want to ensure that the information SWEs and SREs need is at their fingertips at every stage of the production lifecycle, we need to make sure that this work is budgeted for in the project schedule and it is recognized during performance review and promotion time. But it's not the case right now, and it is not the norm. Documentation is not yet fully integrated into engineering culture. But we do have an example that we can look to for inspiration, I think, and this is the world of software testing. 10 years ago, software testing was done largely ad hoc. It was done, or not at all, with pretty dire consequences for our products and our products' life cycle. But today, software testing is a highly professionalized discipline, and it is fully integrated into the engineering workflow and into the discipline of software engineering. We can learn a lot from this organization, from this example. But how do we do it? A lot of us, we don't usually have the authority to mandate change in our organization. If we want to change the engineering culture, and we need to be able to influence without authority. But before we can do documentation better, we need to actually have a good idea of what documentation looks like. What are good docs? And for this, again, I want to borrow from the world of software testing to propose a framework, a vocabulary we can use to describe documentation quality. Essentially, there are two aspects of documentation quality, structural and functional, and together these contribute to the overall quality of your information. Structural quality essentially describes what the documentation looks like. It's what technical writers often mean when they describe themselves as wordsmiths, which frankly is something I dislike. It covers things like grammar and style and organization and architecture. And structural Quality is actually pretty easy to detect and determine. Spelling is correct or it isn't. Style is followed or it isn't. And that's actually a problem because it tells us nothing at all about the effectiveness and the value of that documentation. But because it is easy to measure, it's tempting to overdo it, to focus on structural quality at the expense of more important things. And that is functional quality. In our previous slide, we saw that there are a lot of things that contribute to structural quality. Whoa. Okay. There are a lot of things that contribute to structural quality. There really is only one thing that matters in functional quality, and that is, does this document do what it is supposed to do? Does it accomplish its goal and satisfy its stated requirements? And these are usually business goals. For example, you might want to grow adoption of a product or deflect support calls to lower the cost of support. Or an SRE, you might want to reduce the time it takes to troubleshoot and resolve an outage. Structural quality is a nice to have, but it is merely a means to an end. A document may have immaculate structural quality, but if its functional quality is low, that document is poor overall, it is not effective. Whereas okay structural quality and high functional quality means that your documentation is effective and useful. And that's what we need to focus on. Deliver value, functional quality must be our primary goal. This is far more associated with business value, and it is the key thing that we need to deliver. But we can't deliver functional quality until we have a clear idea of what functional requirements are. What actually are the requirements that these documents need to meet? And in the SRE world, and I'm going to focus on operational docs here, though obviously developer docs are something else, but the documentation that we produce as engineers or as writers needs to support these core SRE functions that we're talking, monitoring, metrics, all of these. Again, I'm going to move fairly fast. But typically, the classical documentation set consists of things like service overviews that enable people to understand the architecture and dependencies of a service, access core data and metrics and dashboards, figure out who the contacts are, playbooks, postmortems, policies, and SLAs. All of these documentation types have very clear purposes. I just want to look very briefly at one of these. Let's look at a playbook, which is kind of the quintessential operation document. A playbook needs to be able to support an SRE and enable that SRE to troubleshoot and quickly resolve an issue in production, and if not, to be able to escalate it properly. That means there should be 100% coverage of alerts. The information should be up to date and should be kept up to date as new failure modes arise or are discovered. If a document meets all of these, it is of high functional quality. So this should be our core focus on that. So once you've figured out what docs should do, what their purpose is, then you need to execute on those requirements and write the docs. And in this section, I want to just talk a little bit about Google's experience in internal documentation. We found very much that doing documentation requires us to change and focus on both tooling and culture. Neither of these on their own is sufficient. Now, before the project, I was G3Doc, our platform was launched. We were in a situation in Google where our code lived in this amazing repository, Piper, the biggest one in the world. And code lived there, and documents could live, hey, on a wiki, or on a Google Doc, or in a site, or it could live on a post-it on your desk. There was no explicit connection between documentation and code. Our experience is that to affect change, culture and tooling are both essential, but tooling comes first. Without that, it is very difficult to affect change. Documentation will never be part of engineering culture until it is integrated into our code base and into our workflow. So, how do we do this? In tooling, the principle is to meet engineers where they are. In this world where documentation is scattered in multiple repos and there is no explicit connection, updating or creating documentation requires engineers to leave their development environment, hunt down the documentation, wrestle with formatting, and do all this. This is not a recipe for document creation or maintenance. Instead, at Google, the situation we have come up with is that documentation lives in source control right alongside the code it describes. It's written in simple markdown, so the barrier to this is very simple, and it's also easily readable in source. We have a service that takes that documentation and renders it at a predictable URL. It does a lot of other fancy stuff as well. It's look and feel, theming, integration. It supports MathJax. But the fundamental, all of that is gravy. The fundamental thing that G3Doc does that helps with this is it enables engineers to create and maintain documentation using the same workflow and the same tool chain that they use to create and maintain document code. So it means that when you update a piece of code, you can update the documentation and send it for review in the same change list. We believe that this is the best practice for documentation. Obviously, it's not possible for everybody. If it is not, the single best thing you can do is to pick one single canonical source for your docs that is predictable and predictably named. The second principle is to automate anything you can in documentation. In our system, we have a playbook server called EngPlay, which is a version of G3Doc that's more resilient to outages. And it also has a certain amount of automation in place. For example, each alert has its own documentation page, and a tool will automatically compare alerts and throw an error if an alert exists without a playbook page. There's also support for variables so that documentation pages are live updated with, you can see the ID of a job that generated the alert or the affected cluster. You can even see live graphs reflecting the current state of the system in the documentation. So those are tooling issues, and I want to talk now about some of the cultural issues. A core SRE principle is that we do not strive for 100% uptime. Right? We saw this discussed earlier on, that this is not necessarily the best use of resources, and it drains effort from things that can be used to improve the quality of the service. The same thing with documentation. Requiring high standards of documentation or writing can actually be counterproductive. It can intimidate engineers from creating docs, and polishing documentation past the point where it is purely functional is a waste of time that can be spent improving other parts of the documentation. Better is better than best. Better trumps best. Strive for a realistic standard of quality and accept that. Good writing is great to see, but don't block changes because the author used the passive voice or something, which I have seen. Another one is reviewers have power. We can withhold approval until documentation is sufficient. We should do this. Not all code changes require documentation. It is not necessarily that onerous. A good rule of thumb is that user behavior changes as a result of code changes, you should update the docs. That change should include an update to docs. On the other hand, if it doesn't require tests, it probably doesn't require docs either. As always, one of the goals of this is it doesn't have to be perfect. We need to remind the size of the documentation effort tends to scale with your code. If you're creating a few thousand lines of documentation, you probably do have to create a couple of hundred lines of documentation to go with a thousand lines of code. But if you're just making a small change, the code could be as small, the doc updates could be just a couple of words or things. But the benefit is it gets it out of your head and it gets it on paper so that you will not be bothered by this again. It is a benefit and it saves time for everybody. This is a personal plea that even as a technical writer, I feel sometimes that the most productive thing that we do is actually delete documentation rather than create it. Documentation, if not maintained, is technical debt. It's a liability. It is worse than useless. It is positively harmful. So please, if something is no longer valid, get rid of it. If you're using source control, you can always get it back. And the final thing is, and cultural thing, is when people on your team are creating documentation, recognize that work, reward that work. If you're doing it within your team, That is something within your control. But if we want to influence change in our organization, leadership is support is important. So in the next section, I want to focus on how best to communicate the value and impact of documentation work in your organization so that you can begin to affect change and do docs better. To convince leadership to invest time and resources in docs and to realize that it is core engineering work, it is critical to gather data that demonstrates the quality, effectiveness, and business value of your documentation. Structural quality, as we said, is easy to measure, but it's very unconvincing. Are you going to go to a VP and say, I wrote 5 documents and they were all spelled correctly? This is not compelling. Functional data, however, is far more compelling or persuasive, but it has a different shape and can be a little trickier to gather. It typically falls into 3 buckets. Measurable success. For example, an alert was successfully handled using your docs and no documentation-related issues were surfaced in your postmortem. That is measurable success. User behavior. Users were able to successfully follow a procedure. And sentiment data. This is trickier and it's prone to be misunderstanding, and it can be easily dismissed. It's not statistically significant, it's just someone's opinion, but it is real data. And sometimes it's the only data we can get. When somebody tells you they liked their document or gave you feedback on it, that is real data because they are telling you that this document met their needs. This is real data and should be gathered and tracked. And you can do this surveys, bug issue tracking, feedback mechanisms, or just talking to teams. So this is an example of how you could communicate some documentation work. So for example, you could say, instead of I wrote a playbook with 100, handled 100 alerts, you can say this was the goal. We wanted to reduce the time it spent to onboard a new engineer. We created this playbook, and as a result, we got this many more visits, we got feedback from engineers that it was useful, and we have data that shows the time to an engineer being on call was reduced by, 1,000%. This is functional, compelling data that can be used. And it actually does help you build a convincing story that conveys the value of the noble work that you are undertaking to improve documentation in your organization. And once you have that data, if you want to influence change, start sharing it. Share it with other SREs, with engineers and technical writers who may be interested in learning about your experiences and adopting your processes. We can share it with our managers who need to be able to understand why we are spending time on documentation and why that time is worthwhile. You can share it at performance review and promotion time when you need to build a case for recognition. And we can share it with other teams that we work on and collaborate with on documentation. So let's talk about a call to action about how we can do docs better. Firstly, focus on functional requirements and quality. Understand exactly what your documentation should be achieving. What does success look like? What is a good, useful impact of your documentation? Then do whatever you can to reduce the barriers to creating and maintaining documentation. As we have seen, some of these are tooling-based. If you can remove friction from the process, if you can integrate it into the workflow, ideally using the same tools and processes that engineers use to create and maintain code, you're halfway there. But if you can also have remove some of the cultural friction, what is required? We already know that documentation is necessary. We need to make sure that it is natural, that it is a natural part of the workflow, and that it is normal, it is expected. We expect documentation when you submit code changes. Then gather data that demonstrates the business value of your docs and focus on the impact. Focus on how it helps your business, reduces downtime, makes engineers more productive, whatever it takes, and then use that data to advocate for documentation in your organization. Use it to build a compelling case that documentation is core engineering work and that it is worthy of support, funding, recognition, and reward, because it is. That's it. Thank you. Any questions?